Network. Together, we are building a better Zambia. Our mission is the proclamation of God's great love and salvation to this generation, shining the light of His love across the city and beyond. This is One Love Radio, inspiring, life-changing radio.
The evening main news bulletin is brought to you by the Information and Communications University, ICU, delivering an ICT-enabled education with excellence.
From the heart of Lusaka to the rest of the world, this is the One Love Radio News.
Thank you for joining us for the news on One Love Radio, the headlines. Government reaffirms commitment to paying NRC mobile registration allowances. 10-year-old boy killed in crocodile attack in Siavonga. And in international news, Le Pen's political fate rests on appeal trial opening in France. And in sports news, Real Madrid part ways with Xavi Alonso. With the news in detail, I am Alex Sianga. Government has reaffirmed its commitment to transparency, accountability and the welfare of public officers following public commentary and media reports regarding the first ever countrywide assurance of national registration cards, NRCs, through mobile registration conducted between April and November last year. The Minister of Home Affairs and Internal Security says the 2026 nationwide mobile registration exercise was a strategic intervention aimed at ensuring that every eligible Zambian citizen acquires legal identity and is able to participate fully in the forthcoming general elections. The exercise targeted more than 3.5 million eligible citizens across all 156 constituencies and was a key pillar of Zambia's democratic and electoral preparedness. Apart from the exercise, government mobilized persons from the civil service to support the registration and the insurance of NRC under demanding field conditions. Addressing concerns over delayed allowances, Principal Public Relations Officer Mwala Kalaluka stated that government remains clear committed to honoring all obligations owed to officers who rendered the critical national service.
Therefore, government wishes to update the public and all participating officers that the disbursement of allowances is ongoing and being handled through the government's integrated financial management information system, IFMIS, by the Department of National Registration, Passport and Citizenship in collaboration with the Ministry of Finance and National Planning. Nonetheless, government acknowledges that some officers experienced delays in receiving their allowances. These delays were largely due to logistical and technical challenges encountered during phase two of the exercise, including the transition from cash-based field payments to the IFMIS platform, as earlier alluded. Additional challenges arose from incorrect banking details, the need to open bank accounts for officers who are not regular government employees, and other technical verifications required to safeguard public funds.
A 10-year-old boy has died after being attacked by a crocodile along the coast of Lake Kariba in Siavonga District, Southern Province. The incident occurred in the early hours of yesterday as the boy was bathing in the lake while preparing to go to school. The victim, a grade 4 pupil, has been identified as Vinok Kawaya of Kakamba Village in the area of Chifi Sina Ndambwa. Southern Province Police Commanding Officer Mono Namalonga confirmed the incident, stating that the boy was attacked by a crocodile while bathing and was dragged into deeper waters. Following the attack, members of the local community immediately began searching for the boy. After about 3 hours, his body was recovered around 200 meters from the coastline. Police have since urged residents living near water bodies to exercise extreme caution, especially when allowing children to access lakes and rivers, as investigations into the incident continue. Economist Kelvin Chisanga has observed that the recent 130% surge in global cobalt prices represents a timely opportunity for Zambia. Mr. Chisanga explained that the price rise, which has pushed cobalt to over $56,200 per ton, is largely a result of supply-side constraints. He has attributed the spark to police and regulatory action in major producing countries that have tightened global supply. He says such administrative restrictions often lead to sharp and short-term price escalating while demand remains strong due to the global energy transition. It is no longer growing as previously projected rates. Mr. Tsanga emphasized that the shift towards cobalt-reduced and cobalt-free battery technologies may cap long-term price gains.
The surge that we have seen coming up in the cobalt prices, I think it's quite motivating and very historical, which has also given that supportive improvement to the mining sector as a whole. Obviously, the impact in the cobalt price surge will have a cascading effect, which will stand to be positively important for Zambia's case, especially at a point when we are making some strong convergency positive development. Obviously, the 130% surge in cobalt prices, which has actually triggered to somewhere around $56,200 per ton, is largely driven by a Templo policy-induced supply shock. Rather than the permanent structural shift which we can experience on the global demand.
Rapra Province Minister Nelson Musonda says there is no convincing justification for the people of Lopula to continue living in poverty, given the province's vast nature endorsement and growing energy security. Speaking Mansa, Mr. Musonda says Lopula is fully prepared to unlock its economic potential through the 2026 Lopula Expo, describing the investment symposium as a key venture under the new donor administration to link local and foreign investors to opportunities in the province. The minister says the expo, scheduled for April 19th to 23rd, 2026, will focus on unlocking value in mining, tourism, energy, agriculture, fisheries, livestock, education and value addition, positioning Lopula as a competitive investment destination. He says it defines logic that a province gifted with fertile land, water bodies, minerals and tourism assets remains among the last developed, adding that President Hakainde Hichilema's administration is determined to reverse the trend by promoting provincial economics. He has called on all stakeholders in Lopula to raise above partisan politics and support the expo, noting that economic growth in the province will benefit all Zambians.
Ladies and gentlemen, the elephant in the room here in Lopula is the expo that we are preparing to host in April this year. So under the new donor administration, this investment symposium is aimed at linking both foreign and the local investors to the province and unlocking economic potential as part of the President Hakainde's Hichilema commitment to creating a diversified economy and also promoting provincial economies. So Lopula will not be left behind. And we know that this expo will focus mainly on unlocking opportunities in mining, tourism, energy, agriculture, fisheries and livestock, education, including value addition, and therefore repositioning Lopula province as a competitive investment hub.
Agriculture News.
And in agriculture news, the Minister of Agriculture in Chongwe District has distributed 2,300 by 250 millimeter bottles of Karate chemical pesticides to farmers in 21 agriculture camps affected with four armyworms. Chongwe Acting Senior Agriculture Officer Winston Kasuba has revealed that out of 30,470 hectares of maize planted in the district, 10,470 hectares in the 21 camps are affected. Socialist Party President Fred Membe says President Hakainde Hichilema should have paid farmers on time to secure a better exit, knowing that this is his first and final term in office. Dr. Membe says the most painful betrayal by President Hichilema is the failure to honor commitment to farmers despite repeated assurance and a clear deadline of the 10th January. The Socialist Party leader observed that farmers have endured prolonged delays, with men in Southern, Copper Belt and other regions waiting for days to receive their payments. He pointed out that government is fully aware that such delays disrupt the agriculture calendar, leaving farmers with insufficient time to plant once funds are dispersed. Dr. Membe